we've discussed the tail end of the series on Nitkei Shechenim. We had four cases about tree loss, what do you do with the leaves falling next door. We had four cases about water damage going from one property to the next. And then we had four cases about bad smells and smoke, Kutra Beit HaKiseh. We had four cases about sound, traffic, opening up shuls in neighborhoods. We had four cases of Hezek Re'iyah. We discussed disturbing a person's privacy. We had four cases of blocking a person's view, blocking the air, blocking the light. And finally, we had four cases about when you're allowed to actually use your friend's property, your neighbor's property, to put a balcony overhanging a person's property line, putting a ladder temporarily to fix your roof, going through his yard to deliver something that can't go through your property. We talked about Midas Adom, and now we're holding by our last four shiurim, and we'll go like a separate topic now. And tonight's topic and next week we'll talk about different things that you could do in your property that aren't disturbing the neighbors. They're not disturbing anyone. We're going to talk about things that don't disturb the neighbor at all. You're not putting water into his yard. You're not putting trees into his yard. The smoke's not going over there. You're not looking into his lawn. You're not disturbing his privacy. You're not blocking his window. You're not doing any of the things we serve him. You're not trespassing. You're not doing anything that is disturbing his well-being. All you're doing, tonight's case, we're talking about you're building an addition, or you're remodeling the outside of your house in a way that's very ugly. I mean, you can drive around. I don't want to give any examples in case you know some of the people, but there are houses you drive by and you know you just wonder like what they were thinking of when they built it. So we're going to talk about say a couple examples. You know, I don't want to give this didn't happen that I know of. Suppose you want to paint it pink with different designs on it, or put in you want to paint it with designs of guns all over it, so that people are going to think like they're mobsters living here, and it's going to bring down, so what's the difference? And it's going to, you know, just ugly, you can't do anything. But suppose it's going to bring down the value of your house, because anyone looking at your house, suppose you want to put your sale sign on it next door, they have this thing painted bright blue with guns all over it, or it's just some an ugly addition that just people they get upset living next door to such a thing. So it's going to bring the value of your property down. Is there anything you can do to prevent your neighbor from causing you a loss, a paper loss, on your property? Right? So once again, it's not that it's disturbing your use of your property, but it's something that's going to be damaging your equity in your home. Right? That's the case. And we're going to see some of my focus. We'll see what it's based on. The Rush has an interesting shaila. This doesn't happen so much nowadays, but it's something that all Achronim talk about, and it's worthwhile. We're going to go to the Rush step by step, and we're going to see the contradictory results, inferences that Achronim get from it. The Rush had a shaila. I'm still not sure exactly how it happened, but in the times of the Rishonim, maybe until not that long ago, when you bought a seat in a shul, it wasn't just that, you know, you became a member and now you have a right to a seat. When you bought a seat in a shul, you owned that area. You owned that seat. That was your, it was like your mom in it. You have your placard, but you own it?
You own that seat and nobody,
what happens if the owner dies? Does it go to his children? In those days, you bought that, and it went down. It was a Yerusha. It was your real estate. You own real estate in the shul. That was a makam kavur. That it wasn't makam. It was your property. You owned that property. That's what it used to be. And because of that, there's a whole host of shailas in the times of the Shoan. And what happens when they remodel? You know, sometimes you remodel, right? This is your makam kavur, and then they decide they want to expand out. I don't know, but you want to stand out 10 feet that way. There's now 10 rows in front of you. You were front row seat. Now you're going to be 11th row, so you have a right to move, or suppose they have to shorten it this way and go out that way. The different things that, what happens to the people that had a place out there? Can they stop them? Can they protest? The shilohs all over. the Rosh Hashanah about that, based on this way things work. Now, that doesn't happen nowadays, but we're going to see how it's relevant to the Shaila that we're talking about. Now, in the Rosh's Shaila, I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but Reuven and Shimon had two seats in the base measure. Somehow, Shimon was the best seat, and Reuven had the second best seat. Now, Reuven wanted to build a mechitza around, make a box seat out of it, make a private little area, and in his domain, in his section, and he wanted to do that in a way that somehow Shimon would now be downgraded to have the second best seat, and Reuven's would be the best. Now, I can't figure out how it could happen. In fact, the Achronim, they talk, the system will be higher. One way I was thinking, which I don't think that's much, but that way is I thought that maybe it could be that, like, the seats went in pairs. The two were the two best seats. And then Reuven decided to put a mechitza there, and now Shimon is like pushed to the side. Or maybe we were thinking that Shimon was first in the row and Reuven was behind him and putting his mechitza. Now Shimon was cut off from the rest of the shul. I don't know how it exactly the case was, but somehow Reuven wanted to build something in his, and I looked all over to see, and I think it's an issue. We'll see soon that there is a case that we will understand, but somehow Reuven wanted to do something to enhance his seat in his own property, not touching Shimon's property, but by doing that, Shimon would now be downgraded to have the second best seat. Can Shimon prevent Reuven from doing that? So the Rosh deals with a couple issues. The first issue, I split into different paragraphs. The first issue is that Shimon says, I'm going to lose my kavod over here. You know, I have the best seat. It's good to, you feel good to have the best seat, and now I'm getting downgraded to be a second seat. You have no right to downgrade me. You're ruining my kavod. And to that the Rosh says, Masatoin Shuhu Rishon, that's what he says. I have the best seat. Lo bikina b'aydin. I don't know too much about that halacha. Ki pa'amim emsoi meshuvach. Sometimes the middle seat's the best. Upamim achron meshuvach. Sometimes the last seat's the best. Right on the airplane. Some people like the aisle seat. Some people like the window seat. Some people want to be in the middle. I don't know, maybe. But the different seats that could be the best. And then he says, lo makom sha'adam mechabdo. It's not the place that gives you the kavod. You give kavod to the place that you're at. Then he asks from the Gemara Brachos, has imprinted on the top of the page, there's a halacha by a meal, Gadol Meitzi Barosh, the most prominent person, he's supposed to sit at the head of the table, and the Gemara Bava Basra says, by Yeshiva, the best seat goes to the person who has the biggest wisdom, and the Mesiva at a banquet, Halacha Harzigna goes by age, so you see that there is an ideal of giving hierarchy based on seats. He doesn't say, but the same thing by Yosef Asadi, he said everyone according to their age. So the Rosh says, Hani Milidum Kamashenu Kavun. That's talking a temporary thing. You're sitting around a table. So then, of course, you put the most chasha person at the head. You put the less chasha of other places. Avashav Beitak Neset. But when you're talking about a shul, Sha'adam Marish Levanov, that a person bequeaths his seat to his children. So what will come out? Ata Adam Gadol Shi'ajim Barosh. A person, he was the most chashev, he bought the seat up front. And now Holy Ben Paris, he gave birth to someone who's a Paris, and he always comes late, and he schmoozes, and, you know, he's not the best, biggest Talmud Chacham over there. So Yifnes Mekoma, are we going to tell him that he has to leave his seat? But Yosha Gadol Mekoma, and the most chashev will take it over. Lo Yatskin, that's not true. Elba Nachlos Nizoki has an inheritance. Right? Because we said in the times of the Rosh, times that he says he traveled all over, this is the way it works. You own this seat and you bequeath it to your children. So that's Rosh's first time. You can't say, well, I can stop Reuven from downgrading my seat to be less important, because there's no such thing as the seat making the person. It's the person makes the seat, not the seat makes the person. And therefore he said that's not a sign of the fact that he's going to have less covet. He's saying it's not. What he's saying is it's not true. He's not going to have less kavod. And if he has less kavod, that's his, because he had, because he doesn't deserve it, not because of what Reuven did. Okay, now we get to a second issue. The oath, and this gets a little bit worse. Now he's saying, well, there's resale value. In the times of the Rishonim, it was legal. It was a kinyan they had in the Beit HaKnesset, and they could sell the seat to someone. So now, what Shimon is saying, okay, kavod isn't an issue over here. But Shimon can say, before Reuven builds his mechitza, I could sell my seed for $1,000. Now that Reuven is building his little mechitza over there, my seed's only going to be worth $800. So he's costing me $200. Maybe I should be able to claim the $200 from Reuven. So that's the Rosh addresses next. But afilu lo yiyya minag lechiluk mekamos. Even if there is no minig for dividing the places. Vigam Shimon nifsad bechelek hamechitzes. And Shimon is suffering a loss by this division of the wall over there. Shim hayavo limkar mekamo, if he would want to sell his seat now, yitchesu damav, the value would be less. Machma sheinu rishon kashayu bechila, because it's not the first like it was in the beginning. Nearly, it seems to me, right? So that's the taina. Shimon's saying, look, it still now is worth $1,000, but you making your little construction over there, it's only worth $800. You caused me a loss. So zot the rush. Nearly, shebishvil hefsid zeh, for that loss, lo yimna Reuven zeh. This Reuven cannot be prevented, milachlok, from putting in his mechitza there. Shekol ha'har chokos. Hashnuz, blah, 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 blah. So all the different things we learned about in the past 28 shiurim about different ways we have to be far away from our neighbors, not to impinge upon their rights. It's only where what we're doing is damaging that neighbor, the Guf Mumano, in his own property. And he gives examples, like putting a well next to the field, which is going to force him to move further away when he has a well, and all the different things we talked about, blocking the light into his house, or the smoke, or taking away his parnasa, different things that cause a real loss to the person, discomfort to the person himself, or to his property. That's where we have rules of Nizkei Shechenim. But if someone's building something in his own property to make it worth more, he's not damaging, he's not impeding that use of the person's property. He's just making it worth less money now. But the use is still the same, it's just less value. The seat's still a seat. You can still daven there just as much as he davened there in the past. The only thing is now you're going to have to get less money if you want to sell it. In that case, the chachamim did not force you to stay far away. Right, that's the Rosh's Yesod. So what the Rosh is saying is that, like we said in the beginning here, that all the things we learned about Nizkei Shechenim are where I'm doing something that is disturbing either the person next door or his property, preventing him from the normal use of his property. The trees are ruining the well. Like we said, in some cases it's mutter. But that's when there's an issue, where I'm doing something that is causing a limitation of the person's use of his property, or something that's making the person personally uncomfortable. But if I'm just causing his property to go down in value, there I don't have any taina. And then the Rosh brings a clear raya. We know there's a Gemara that says, I have it on the handout on the top here, the Braitza and Baba Basra Chafal from Vey says, Osa Adam Chanus Betzah Chanus Shchaveiro. If there's a store in a neighborhood, a person's allowed to open a store right next door. We've spoken in the past years different parameters of competition when that's mutter, but certainly there are cases where I'm allowed to open a store even though there's an existing store in the neighborhood. I could open up a bathhouse near someone's bathhouse. No one can stop me from doing it. Because I could tell him, you have your store and your property, but I'm doing my property. Right? That's the halacha. You're allowed to do that under certain circumstances. Now the Rosh says, now what happens if I open up a store next door to an existing Sfarim store, and I open up my Sfarim store? Everyone knows that if someone wants to sell his Sfarim store now, his business will be worth more money if there was no competition here. Nevertheless, you can't protest the store from opening. So the Rosh brings a ride from here that as long as what I'm doing is not preventing you from your normal usage of your property and it's not hurting your physical body, you can't stop me from doing it, even if my activity will cause you a monetary loss. That's a clear proof from the other store. So that's the Rosh's first two arguments. The first argument, Shimon can't block Reuven from building his mechitza because he's going to have less cover now. That doesn't make a difference. Cover depends on the person, not the place that makes the cover. The second time the Shimon said is, I'm going to get less money now. I'm going to have less money. So that also, that's no taina, because right now you could sit there just like you sat all along. You're only talking in case you want to sell it. In case you want to sell it, it's going to go down in value. So right now you have your use. The fact that it's going to go down in value, that's not a taina. But then the Rosh concludes with a third taina. Amnam. The Rosh says, Im nohagu b'mdinas halalu. If the minig in this place is, when they originally sold the seat in the shul, Shamochem Moshe Harosh Beyoker, the first seat is more expensive. Vasheni Bepachas, and the second seat is cheaper. Vechen Kulam Nechoshim Veis Rachkam, Moshe Harosh, and similarly, they all get worth less and less based on where you're sitting. Im Atta Bechilig Mechitza, now by putting your Mechitza in, Yafsin Mochem Moshe Harosh, Chashivusa, the top seat is going to lose its Chashivas, in that case, Reuven isn't allowed to put in his mechitza there, because the Rosh's lashon is ki adai to dachi konim mekam b'pachas mi dai Moshe v'Rosh. Why did Reuven pay less when he bought his second place seat? That's because it's not on the front. Shem yuchal lasan mekam v'Rosh. If he could somehow put a mechitza and make his seat up front, lo nifchas demei mekam. No, why did he pay less for his? So the Rosh concludes that if initially when they sell the seats up front cost more, and Reuven spent less money to get the seat in the back, in that case, Reuven cannot build his mechitza. He has a second place seat, and he's not allowed to. Now, we'll see another Rosh in a second, but right now, the Dogon Revava, the Achronim, asked that this last paragraph of the Rosh seems to contradict the previous one, because the previous paragraph said, it doesn't make a difference if it goes down in value. We don't care that it goes down in value. It doesn't make a difference. All we care about is if you're damaging the person, you're stopping him from using his property, but if you're making it worth less, that's not a taina. And then the Rosh concludes, but if in the beginning they paid more for it and now it's going down in value, so then there is a taina. Right? That's the stira that they ask in the Rosh. The Rosh continues in another tshuva, a few simonim later. And in this case, I understand, I think. In this case, they were sitting on benches. They didn't have tables and chairs. It was like a long bench. And they were sitting first, second, third. Now the person at the top, in the beginning of the bench, had a little extra space over there, and he wanted to use that to have someone else sit over there. He wanted to take off the railing, say, and put another seat there for his child or someone else to sit next to him. And now, Shimon, who sat next to him, complained, until now, I was the second in the row. If you put another person over here, I'm going to be third in the row, and you're making me less than I was before. So there the Rosh paskins that Shimon has a good taina, they can stop him from putting in that extra person that'll push Shimon into the third position. Now that also seems to contradict what you just said, because we just said that there's no the chashivas don't make a difference, but if you're second or third, it shouldn't make a difference. And the problem is the Ramah paskins both of these shuas harash. Just read a little bit more, then we'll talk a little bit. The Ramah in Siman Kufay and Aleph, the Falaf, top of the second side of the handout, says like this. He passes both these cases. Reuven v'Shimon sheyesh lehem mekamos v'beis hakneset. Reuven and Shimon had places in the shul. Zeh yitzel zeh, one next to the other. Reuven rotzeh la'atzeh mechitza b'neihem. Reuven wanted to put a division between them. U'l'hachnas ha'michitza b'sarach shelo, and the mechitza would be completely in his property. He wouldn't be taking anything away from Shimon's property. V'Shimon rotzeh la'akev. Shimon wants to prevent him. Rama by saying shemiyas the mechitza, by you making the mechitza, I'm welcome you yadochuk. You're going to make it more crowded for me. My place is going to be worth less money if I want to sell it. L'chora hadinim Reuven. Reuven has the right to build the mechitza, like the Rosh said in the first tshuva. Then he says v'chein rabim. Similarly, which the Nesiva says should be achin. However, rabim hayoshim asafsel echad. If you have a lot of people sitting on one bench, the Beit Hagnesh is in the shul. By Yoshe Barosh, the person sitting at the beginning of the bench, Rotzeh Lahosiv Od Mokem Echad Eitz Mokem. He wants to add another seat next to his place. By Yoshe Esel, the person in the second position, Rotzeh Limchos, is protesting. Garmin, he says, Sheachlu Husheini. Right now, I'm second in line. Eitz Haresh near the top. Beim Yosef, and he adds someone next to you. Yeshlisha, you're going to be the third. Hadin Imo Shimon has the right to prevent him, but Yochel Imchos, he can protest against Reuven putting in the new seat over there. Everyone goes to town that these two halachas contradict each other. What do you do with the Rosh, the Ramah? They're contradicting. Can you put in the extra seat? Can you not put in the extra seat? And like it always is interesting, they come with different conclusions which come out to different halachas. The issue that we want to pinpoint here is, do I have a right to do something that doesn't impinge upon your davening, doesn't hurt you at all? All it does is make your property, your seat, worth less money. Right? That's the issue that we're talking. Is there such a thing called hezek yiridas erech? Right? The title of this year. Is there such a thing called a hezek of causing your property to be worth less, even though you can have the same exact usage you had all along? It could be you'll never even want to sell it. It could be there'll never be an issue with what you're talking about. Right now you can daven, you'll always daven, nothing will change, but it's worth less. If I want to sell it, is that a taina? Right? So the Rosh seems to be contradicting himself. The Ramah passes both of them in the case. In the first case, the Rosh said, it doesn't seem to be a taina. And the second case, by the sitting on the row, it does seem to be a taina. And that is an issue that Achronim deal with. The Chassam Sofer answers like this. The Chassam Sofer says, I have a lashon over here. The Chassam Sofer says that whenever you are going to make someone's property worth less money, that is a taina. And that's why the second rush in the second shuvah, he said, you can stop him from putting that first person in line. You can't put another person next to him to force everyone to be lowered down the row so that their seat is worth less, because you're not allowed to cause someone a loss of a property value. You can't ruin a person's equity. That's what the Chassam Sofer says. So why in the first case was Reuven allowed to put the mechitza, which somehow was going to make Shimon unhappy? So he says, because over there it was just an issue of kavod. It was only Shimon's kavod was getting hurt. It was that he felt that, you know, this is more kavod exceed, so now you're putting a mechitza, yours is going to be more kavod, it's fancier, whatever the svara was, but he wasn't making Shimon's seat worth less money. So in that case, that's where the Rosh says that Reuven has no taina, because like he said, it's not the place that gives honor to the person, it's the person that gives kavod to the place. That's where the Chassam Sofer answers the kasha. Based on that, Einek HaMishpat, one of the contemporary poskim, wants to say, in the case we're talking about, if someone wants to build an ugly addition, and he says he wants to close his balcony, he wants to close his merpeses, everyone has a place to put their sukkah and merpeses in Eretz Yisrael, and he wants to close it, it's going to look ugly, so the neighbors can prevent him, because by doing that, their property value is going to go down. They're going to say, what kind of crazy person lives in this neighborhood? They made such an ugly thing over here. No one's going to want to buy their property. Based on this Chassam Sofer, the Emel HaMishpat says that you're not allowed to make an addition, do anything to your house that's going to bring down the property value of the neighbors next door, because that's a real sign of bringing down value, property value of someone's possession, ruining someone's equity is a real damage. That's a real hazard. That's what the Emel HaMishpat says based on the Chassam Sofer. However, the Chassam Sofer is paludic, because, you know, I said the Chassam Sofer, we read the Rosh together, and the Chassam Sofer seems to have missed a big part of the Rosh, because with the second paragraph of the Rosh went to great length of saying that we don't care that your property is going to be worth less. Right? So he said, Gam Shimon Nifset v'chevaka mechitzas. Even if Shimon is going to lose by Reuven putting in that mechitza, that now if he's going to sell it, it's going to be worth less. He said, that's not a taina, because he said, just like you can open up a store next to another store, that even though that's going to cause a loss of equity from the first store, now that there's competition in the neighborhood, the Rosh said, that's not a problem. And the Svara, he said, and the way the Achronim, the contemporaries, explain it, is because the Nitkesh Chenim is only, like we've been saying all along, is if I'm doing something that's going to prevent the neighbor from the normal usage of his house, or it's going to give him pain and causing him smoke damage and he can't walk outside because of the smell, something that prevents him from using his house. But if he can use his house all along, and all you're doing is bringing down the equity, bringing down the value of it, the Rosh says that's not a taina, just like you can sell a store to open up a store next to another store. Right? The Rosh clearly said that that's not a taina. So how can you come and say, how can the Chacham Sofer go and say, well, you know, that the Rosh is only being matrid when it doesn't bring the value down, but if it brings the value down, that is a taina. The Rosh clearly said that if the value goes down, you still can't prevent it. Right? The Rosh said that. That's a kasha the Hornet Cycler asks in the name of Kasha Eila, an earlier Shuva Ezot Yisrael. That Shuva asked that kasha on the Chacham Sofer. How can the Chacham Sofer say such a pshat in the Rosh? The problem is, what is the pshat in the Rosh? The Rosh says there's no problem bringing down the value, but then he says that the third paragraph of the first Shuva, that there is a problem if they originally bought it for different prices and their price is going to go down, it is a taina. And then in the second Shuva we said by the bench, if it's going to cause the prices to go down, that also is a taina. What do we do with the Rosh over there? So that the other Achronim, Tarkei Mishpat, Mishkan Shalom, contemporaries, they explain the Rosh like this. It's a combination of the different explanations they give. They hold, the Rosh is clearly saying, that if you're bringing down the value of someone's property without causing any loss of use or any loss of comfort to the person, that's not a taina, that's not a hezek. You can't stop your neighbor from doing that. If you can still use your house the same, the fact that he has Donald Duck on his house next door and it's going to bring down your value, that doesn't make a difference. He's not stopping you from using your lawn. He's not throwing arrows at you. It's not your delay. He's not throwing smoke into it. He's not doing anything that's disturbing your living. He's not doing anything. He's just painting his house in a funny way. He's enclosing his porch in an ugly way that's going to bring down the value. People are going to think there's the kooks living around here. But he's not hurting you. That is not a taina. The fact that someone brings down the value is not an issue in this case, Shechenim, not like the Chacham Sofer says. It's not an issue of Nizkei Shechenim, and you can't stop someone from doing that if he's not hurting your usage of your property. What does the Rosh mean at the end when he says, well, if they originally bought it for that, for less, when Reuven bought it for less, so then Shimon can stop him from putting that mechitza? That's because that's different over there. That's because in that case, when they had the shul, the brand new shul, and they came out to seat, Shimon bid for the first seat and he paid extra money for the first seat. Reuven took the second seat and he paid less for that. He didn't want the first seat. He paid less for the second seat. So in that case, when in the Lechachila, Reuven paid less money for his seat, and Shimon paid more to be the first. So in that case, Reuven has no right to foil the original distribution and say, well, pay less and make his seat the most chashuv. Because initially they had set it up with different prices, so in that case you can't do something to bring down Shimon's value. Because you paid less, that's the Lashon of the Rosh. Ki adai tadochi konem ekama bepachos midai Moshe Varosh. It was with this intention that Reuven paid less than the optimal seat when he paid for his seat. If he's able to just put a little mechitza and make his seat the most prominent seat, why does he pay less for it? Right, that's the chilek, right? If everyone just sat down, there was an empty shul, and everyone paid the same price for their seats, and over the course of time, the ones in front was worth a certain more amount of value, and the ones next to it worth less, and then by really making his mechitza, it's going to make all the ones worth less. So then there's no taina because everyone paid the same amount. The covet is based on the people that are sitting there, not the seat makes the covet. The value, the loss of resale value is not an issue, right? Because the Rosh holds, if you cause someone's equity to be worth less, that's not called a hezek. It's only a hezek if you're stopping his usage or you're hurting his body, his physical use of the land. But that it's worth less, that's not a taina. It's only here in the Rosh's case where they initially spent extra money to have the first seat, and then Reuven spends less, and then he goes and does an addition or something to make him the best seat, so that he has no right to do at Shimon's expense. If you could, you know, you can put a pillow on his seat to make it more comfortable, that's okay. But you can't do something that's going to make Shimon's seat number two. So Shimon paid extra for his seat. So that's the first halacha the Rosh is saying. And that could have something to do with, I don't know how it would work if there's different homes in the neighborhood and everyone was able to buy the first one more expensive one, and someone spent more money for that house, and the second one, the neighbor spent less because he didn't want it, so such a thing. And then by making addition, he makes Shimon's worse in some way. That would be a parallel case. But in the case where Shimon is just, where Reuven is just building an addition onto his house, which makes Shimon's worth less, that's not a taina at all. It's only in this particular case that the Rosh said making the house worth less, the feet worth less, would be a problem. And in the second case also, there's another exception in the Rosh's second case. Because over there, once again, the case was they're all sitting on a bench. Reuven has the first seat, Shimon has the second, Levi has the third, and Reuven wants to remove the railing and put another person, his son, next to him, so that now that person will be number one. Maybe Reuven will be number one, and that person will be number two. And Shimon will become number three, Levi will become number four. So in that case, the Rosh says you can prevent Reuven from doing that, and the Ramah paskins that way. So that also is because there's something else that's happening over there. What's happening over there is everyone owns that bench jointly. Everyone is partners in that bench. And that railing at the end, Reuven doesn't own that railing. Everyone owns the railing. They're all joint partners in that railing. So in that case, Shimon and Levi and Yehuda can say, you have no right to take off that railing. It's hurting us. It's putting us, ruining the value of our seat. And we can stop you because to do your plan, you have to take off our railing that we own. You have no right to take off that railing that we own over here. So in that case, the Rosh says, and the Ramah paskins, that Reuven can't do something that will lower the property value of his neighbors, because in that case he's taking something that the neighbors own jointly with him. In that case he can stop him. So just reviewing the way these Achronim understand the Rosh, not like the Chassam Sofer, they hold once again that if I do something in my own property and I'm not impinging upon your use of your property, I'm not hurting you, all I'm doing is lessening the equity of your home, you can't stop me from doing that. I'm doing something legal in my house. I mean, you might think it's ugly, maybe everyone in the world thinks it's ugly, but it doesn't stop the usage of your house, and you can't stop me from doing that. The only two exceptions that the Rosh said, which the Ramah paskins, is I can't do that. If to make that change in my house, I have to take something that's jointly owned by all of us, like in the second Shuvah of the Rosh. And the second exception is if somehow everyone knows that I paid less for my house and you paid more, and by me making that change I'm going to be taking away your preferred status at my action will take away your preferred status. That I can do because I died to the Hachi, I paid less because I know that I have the cheaper house and I'm not allowed to do something that's going to ruin the value of yours. So based on that, the Mishkan Shalom Darjaki Mishpat say that I can make any addition on my house that's not going to, it's not going to affect anything physically that you own. The only thing it's going to do is bring down the value of your house. You can't stop me from doing that. It might not be the nicest thing to do. It might not be the best advice to do if you want to have good relations with your neighbors. But halachically, you can't stop me from doing something that just merely brings down the value of your house. Right? That's what they conclude. However, they agree, right, based on what we just said, that's talking if you have your own private house and you're doing it like here in America, we each have our own private houses. I could do something in my property, even though it's going to bring down the value of the houses next door. I could do that. But if it's like in Eretz Yisrael, or here there's a condominium where everyone jointly owns a building, and one of the residents of the building want to do something that they all jointly own. They want to, I don't know how exactly the division works over there, but suppose everyone owns the outside of the building jointly. They all are responsible to paint it and keep it in good condition. It's not that you own just the part outside your window. And then you decide, outside your window, your porch, you want to paint green and purple and polka dots and make the whole thing go down in value because of your ugliness. So in that case, you don't have a right to do it. Because in that case, it's something you're using something that everyone jointly owns. So it's not your own private property. That's the case, like the Rush said at the end, by the bench, where everyone jointly owns that railing, you don't have the right to take away the railing to put in a second seat in order to make your seat better, because that's jointly owned by everyone. So the same thing, if it's an apartment where everyone jointly owns that wall, you can't do something to that wall that's going to take away from the usage of the, that's going to take away the value of the property that they all own jointly. That's one exception. And a second exception, the Mishkan Sholem wants to say, he says that a second exception will be that we're talking only in a case where you're doing something that's ugly, that's not going to affect anyone. But suppose you're doing something that we learned in the last shiurim that you're allowed to do under normal circumstances. Like we said, that you can't stop your neighbor from having barbecues unless it's constant. You can't put a factory next door. That's kutra. That's kutra beis akisa. You're not allowed to do that. Right? You can't stop him from making barbecues. But that's not constant. It's not something that really disturbs people. But suppose he's going to make barbecues. He's going to make smoke in a way that everyone in the neighborhood knows that, you know, this person smells up the neighborhood with whatever he's barbecuing over there. It stinks. And if someone ever is going to want to bring someone to sell his house, the guy's going to walk around. People are going to walk in the house and say, "What smells over here? I smelled it all over the block." And no one's going to want to move in because of this neighbor who's making such a smoke or noise. We said that you really can't prevent someone from making noise. If children make noise, you can't stop it because that's normal. That's normal living. But suppose the person makes such noise in his yard, he plays such instruments, that the value of the houses are going to go down because of what he's doing in his house. So there the Mishkan Sholem wants to say, maybe that's already also like kutra beis akisi, something that makes the, objectively, brings down the value of all the houses, something that objectively brings down the value of all the houses. That must be it. So terrible that people can't be soulful. That's already the lashon of kutra beis akisei. That's why do we say you can't do with heavy smoke or terrible smells, bathroom smells next door, because no one can be soulful in such a situation, and the chachamim don't let you do that in your yard. So if someone's doing something in his yard that normally would be okay, on paper it's okay to have smoke in your yard, so you can have noise, you can have it smells, if it's not so terrible, and things that you can normally do that we spoke about in the past weeks. But this person is doing it in such a way where it's so terrible that it's bringing down the value of the property, and everyone knows it's bringing down the value of the property. There's no argument about that. Everyone knows that because this person barbecues, you know, vinegar every week and makes the whole neighborhood smell, that if you want to sell your house, you're going to have to find a time when he's on vacation or something, because you'll never want to, no one will sell it. The dogs are barking constantly, and who's going to want to buy a house where they always hear the dogs barking? So if that's the case, someone brings in something unusual into the neighborhood that brings down the value, in that case the Mishkan Sholem holds that you could stop him from doing that activity. But it's just an addition. You're just making a change to his house, which has no impact at all on next door. It's just that it looks ugly, and it's not something that's disturbing, right? What we're saying by the smoke, we're saying if the smoke brings down the value of the house, it must be that smoke is very bad. That goes under the category of kutra beis akisei. But if it's nothing there, it's just that it looks ugly. You didn't do anything. You just made it look ugly. In that case, you can't stop him from doing it. I just had one last case that I saw. We talked about the heterim, that this is a special heter. If you're building something that's a bar mitzvah, a shul, a base, a sefer for children from the takona of Yeshua ben Gamla, we said there the neighbors can't stop it, even though it's going to bring traffic, and under most circumstances they can't stop it. Now how about if it's going to bring down the value of the houses? You know, they always say if you build a shul, it brings down the value. The truth is it can make the value go up. But suppose it will bring down the value of the houses. So in that case, the post can say there's no taina there by the neighbors, because normally you can stop people from making noise if they're next door. But the chum said if it's for a divar mitzvah, like building a school or a shul or a beis medrash, so there we override the halachas in this case shcheinim to allow the people to make the noise and take up traffic, which normally would not be permitted. So the same thing will be, even though normally you can't maybe make the price go down by using a usage which makes a person uncomfortable in his own home, but if the case of building a shul or a school or a divar mitzvah, the fact that the property might go down is not a taina in that case either. So reviewing what we learned tonight, if you want to do something in your property that is not impinging on the person's use next door, just so ugly you're bringing down the value of his house from the ugliness of it, everyone will say that's the ugly block. You know, he's knocking down all the trees that are in front of his house, and because of that it makes it look ugly now. It doesn't match the other houses. So if it's just bringing down the value, according to the Chacham Sofer, the way he understands the Rush, you can't do that, because bringing down the value of someone's house is prohibited, of his property is prohibited. The Achronim, though, Ech, how can the Chacham Sofer understand the Rush that way? The Rush himself said that the fact that it goes down in value is not an issue when he brought a proof from the case of a store, opening up a store next to another store, even though that store is going to have worse retail value, it's still permitted under those circumstances that we discussed to open up a store next to another store. So they therefore understand from the Rush the opposite from the Chacham Sofer. They understand that the fact that the value of a person's property is going to go down is not a taina at all in Hilchos Keish Chayin. It's a grama, it's nothing. He can still use the house. The fact that when he wants to sell it 10 years from now, he's going to get less money, that's not called a hezek. He can't stop him. However, the two exceptions, one exception will be if it's a jointly owned property, and even though he's doing it outside his own window, but it's jointly owned, then you can't do it, because that was the Rosh's second case. And the second exception, we said, was when it's not just building an addition, it's doing something in your yard which will normally be permitted, but you're doing it in such a way, the smoke, the smell, the sound, that it's going to bring down the value. So in that, the Mishkan Shalom says, that shows, the fact that the price of the real estate goes down, that shows what you're doing is something that people cannot stand, it's something that's too hard to stand, and in that